somebody a wave, like I say, and a smile. Don't just
look at them and give them a growl. Nobody wants that. But anyway, if you're part of our online audience, once again, we welcome you. We ask you to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito, who is monitoring along with our online audience. As always, if there's anybody there that has questions or anything, you can ask Dr. John. If he can't answer them, he'll get them for you. And we appreciate all that he does. We're hoping that everybody is doing great on this beautiful Lord's morning. He has given us a wonderful opportunity to get up and enjoy life, to be able to walk, to be able to hear, to be able to see. And we are blessed in many, many ways. And all I can say is God is good.
All the time.
God really, really is good. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you again, we ask that your spirit would be prevalent in this place today. And Lord, we also ask that in the midst of all the push and shove that's going on in our lives, Father, whether it's work, whether it's the Christmas season, no matter what it may be, that you would help us to take these moments, Lord, to be still in your presence. Lord, to just take that deep breath and to concentrate upon you and to concentrate upon the Holy Spirit's movement in our hearts and in our lives today. For Lord, we know that you have a tailor-made message for each and every one of us. Lord, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it hits us where we are. So I pray that today, Father, we would truly be receptive to the movement of the Spirit in our lives. We ask that anything that might distract us from hearing you would be put aside. Lord, whether it's personal or whether it's all around, or whatever it may be, Lord, help us to hear you today. And Lord, may we draw close to you. As always, we ask if there's one that doesn't know you, that today truly would be the day that they would give their life to you and experience what eternal life is really all about, not just in the here ever after, but Father, also in the here and now. So bless the time that we will spend together in your word, and Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as always, we are in the midst of taking our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Lottie Moon Christmas offering goes to keep our missionaries on the field. I know a lot of us have been familiar with Lottie Moon over the years. That is how the ones that are sent out from the Southern Baptist Convention are able to be out on the field and have the things that they need. This is the international mission offering, which means that this supports those that are anywhere outside of Canada, the United States, and Mexico. As you know, our Annie Armstrong offering is for North American missions, but we try as best we can to connect you with those missionaries. That's one of the things that I have always been just so proud of Central Baptist Church for, is that missions is not just something that we will give to. It's something that we also do. We like to have boots on the ground, but when you have the opportunity to be able to experience and to see some of these folks, a lot of times we can't bring them back from overseas, but we can give you an opportunity through things that have been done through International Mission Board to give you an opportunity to see some of them. As always, we have a little video we want to show to you, and this is the thank you for giving and keeping the missionaries there on the field so that they don't have to stop their work and come back for oftentimes a year or better to raise their support. You provide their support. So here's a thank you from them.
We're Zach and Hannah Welch, and along with our three children, we're your IMB missionaries to Ivory Coast, West Africa. In the United States, I was an attorney as well as a bivocational pastor at a small Southern Baptist church in Tallapoosa, Georgia. In many ways, our life has translated well to West Africa as I manage the entities and properties of our mission here, as well as help missionaries find housing, find vehicles, helping keep our missionaries on the ground. I also work with churches as I preach several times a month and disciple people who disciple more people.
Since I was a teacher in the States, I have continued to use those gifts and abilities that the Lord has given me here in the Ivory Coast through homeschooling our children and teaching women in the local church. Thank you for your giving to the cooperative program and to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which gives us a presence here in the Ivory Coast.
Please turn with me and stand as we sing 88, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. this evening. We have our Christmas program, our cantata this evening, and the band will start preludes at 5:45. So you'll want to come in and get a little early so we can enjoy that, and then the hot chocolate and finger food fellowship afterwards. So we look forward to seeing you this evening. Please join me now as we sing Angels from the Realms of Glory, number 94.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er holy earth. Ye who sang creation's glory, now proclaim the Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ.
Still be here, for he is the Lord. is the gift. A Savior born that we might live, He is the
Have your Bible. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 2 today. You know, when we think about Christmas, we think about the various aspects and the various stories that we read and the various characters that are involved. And today, we want to take a look at the story of the Magi who were seeking Jesus. And this particular passage gives us some profound lessons about seeking as well as worshiping the true King. And we want to look at a couple of aspects today out of this particular passage. We want to look at the journey. We want to look at the revelation to them. And then we also want to look at their response. You know, all those things come into play. As I think about this, and I think about so many people, have you ever had that time in your life when somebody has said to you, you know what, I know you're hearing me, but you're just not listening? How many of y'all have ever heard that? How many of y'all have ever said that to somebody? So you understand what's going on. It's like they're hearing the words that are coming out of your mouth, but they're not seeming to comprehend what you are saying. And sometimes that happens with us along our spiritual walk. Sometimes I think the Lord just wants to grab us and shake us and say, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Because oftentimes we don't, because our actions and our reactions do not prove that we're actually understanding what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is saying to each and every one of us, or what it is that He is wanting us to do. So when we look at this text in Matthew, I'm going to kind of break it down a little bit this morning, because this is something that most people are familiar with. I would go ahead and say 99.9% of the people, probably 100% of the people within the sound of my voice today, are familiar with the story of the Magi, also called the Three Wise Men. Whatever you want to label that, you pretty much know what the story is. So when we begin to look at our scriptures, I'm going to pair them out a little bit today. And the first thing we want to look at is their journey. So in your Bible, look with me if you would at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, the Magi embarked on this incredibly long journey from the east. Yeah, their decision to travel was guided by their observation of an extraordinary star. Now, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know in that, okay? Most of us have heard that before. But when you begin to think about it, they saw something that was different. Now, I want to say this, and I will probably say it again along the way. The Holy Spirit beckons us to the Lord. There is no other way in heaven. In and of ourselves, in our sinful nature, we are not even capable of seeking a holy God, lest the Holy Spirit prompt our hearts. Plain and simple. You know, we would be just out there wandering in life and not even realizing, unless the Holy Spirit would come to us. How many times have we said and read the passage where he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever will open the door and let me in, I will come in and sup with him. We've heard that, haven't we? Jesus doesn't force his way into your heart. He doesn't kick the door down. And in and of ourselves, we don't go, I've used this illustration before. You don't just sit around your house and then every 5 minutes go up and look at the front door. If you do, we need to talk. We need to get you some help. The only time you generally go to the door is when there's a reason to go to the door. The doorbell rings. There's a knock on the door. The dog is barking. There is something that will prompt you to go and check and see what is going on at the front door. The Holy Spirit prompts our heart and knocks at that door that we might let him in. When we think about the Magi, there was something extraordinary that led them on this journey to go and find the baby Jesus. Yeah, and of course this signifies the birth of the newborn king. Think about the symbolism that was involved in that as well. It was a signal that had gone up. See, the Magi are representatives of those who seek the truth beyond their borders. Now, I like to use that term because God often wants us to seek him in areas that are outside of our comfort zone. And all God's people said, you know what? If it's comfortable, then that means we can do it. It's when it becomes uncomfortable that we really have to rely upon him. You know, years ago, you know, we talked about launching out into the deep as a church. And why is it that we talked about launching out into the deep? Because the deep water is where if you don't trust in God, you die out there. You know, and too many times we're busy standing ankle deep in water, talking about how we're following him in our walks and what we're doing. And yet, the whole time, he is calling us to greater things. He is calling us to deeper waters. He is calling us to greater things. And I will promise you that they're not just right there in your sphere of influence. These Magi began a journey. They began a trek. This was not something that was short term. I'm getting ready to add another point to my thought, okay? Another thing that you have to think about was this was not something temporary. This is something that took quite a bit of time. Now, I'll fast forward and I may come back to it again, but we are talking years. This journey was years. It wasn't, well, let's spend a few minutes and let's go down there and let's see if we can follow this star and let's see if we can hunt down baby Jesus and all would be right with the world and we'll be back at work Monday morning. That's not the way that went. Now, evidence in the scripture tells us that it was 2 years before the Magi or the wise men actually came to find Jesus. And you'll hear that in the scripture here in just a few moments in Matthew's Gospel chapter 2. And so many times, yeah, it is amazing how we can get our mindset going. I'm getting ready to make mad all of the church drama people across the world because I've said before, the Magi never made it to the stable. Oh, somebody's just having a heart attack now. What are you talking about? I was one of those Magi when I was little and I did the church play and I was at the stable. You can't tell me otherwise. Yes, I can, and I'm going to prove it to you. By the way, it's not about what Roy says. It's about what thus saith the word says, correct? All right, so I pointed all that out to simply say that the Magi had a lengthy journey. It wasn't something that just took a day or two for them to find. It is a couple of years. And I will prove that to you here once again in just a few moments for those of you who may never have heard that before. But the Magi represent those who are seeking truth beyond their borders and immediately understanding. Their journey symbolizes the spiritual quest for understanding and worship. Now, that's a big point. You know why? Because there's a lot of people today who get habitual in what they do. We came to church today. Why? Well, because that's what we always do. Did we sit there? Did we truly come to church today because we said, I want to meet Jesus in this place today. I want to hear from him. I want to walk with him. I want to talk with him. And I don't really care what happens all around me today. And for these moments, this is about me and God. I want to hear from him today. Some people walked in the house of the Lord today with a hurting heart that want to hear from God. Some people walked in today with joy in their heart that they want to express. There are a plethora of different emotions that you have walked into the house of the Lord with today. But the bottom line is, do you want to meet God in this place today? Because I will make you this promise. If you do, you will. I've said many, many times that we don't sing because I need filler. And every one of you in here that are acquainted with me know that I could preach for 2-3 hours if I needed to. That's not a problem. I don't need to have a filler with somebody to come up and sing and for us to sing congregation. No, that is for you to worship the Lord in song. That is for you to participate. That is for you to hear from the Lord. You see, what worship is really all about is when it only feels like you and Him in the place of worship together. And you begin to lift your voice up to Him. And I'll tell you, that can change things. It can make a bad day into a good day. It can make all the things that have rushed into your heart completely different. You view them completely different. So my big question today is, did you come in truly to worship the King? Or did we just roam in here because, well, it's getting close to Christmas time. Maybe get a couple of more stars on my church attendance list. Or did you come in today because that's what you've always done? Did you come in today and grumbling inside your heart? I don't like him. That's the most pitiful outfit the preacher could wear on a Sunday like that. I'll tell you why. I can't hear this. I can't see with that light. Blah, 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 blah. We let all the peripherals keep us from being what God wants us to be and hearing from Him in His presence. You see, today, right now, and in this moment, it should be about you and God, mano a mano. What is it that He wants to say to you? And you see, you had these wise men who were on a journey. They wanted to be in the presence of the newborn King. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are we willing to embark on a journey to seek Jesus, even if it means leaving our comfort zones? Can we do that? Are we willing to say, yes, Lord, I get it. I'm going to leave the comfort zone, the things that I know. I'm going to step outside of that box. But not because I want to, here this is critical, but because that's what you are asking me to do. See, I would never want anybody to step out of their comfort zone because they want to, but I would certainly want you to if God asks you to. There's a big difference between those two. If you just do it on your own, you're going to fail. If you do it because God asks you, you will certainly succeed. Simply because your obedience. Let us be prepared to seek Jesus diligently, recognizing the signs that guide us to Him. I can imagine what the conversation must have been like about that star. Those guys, and by the way, these are magi. We call them wise men, and we call them that for a reason. There was something about that, but I will promise you that it was also the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how can you prove that, Roy? Well, we're reading about them in the Word of God. That's how. They saw this particular star. Now, the second thing I want us to see out of our passage today, which comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, it says this. It says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, when you think about this is when the wise men or the magi arrived and they asked Herod. I've said this many, many times. If you were sitting there looking for a king, they obviously had some knowledge of what they were seeking. That is a key. They were looking for the long prophesied Messiah. God Almighty had put that within their heart. You know, the Holy Spirit had put that within them. Okay? So they were seeking the newborn king. If you were looking for a king, where would you look for a king? Well, you would look for a king, obviously, in the castle, the palace, whatever. So they went where the king, earthly, should be. And they asked Herod, who happened to be the king, we're looking for the new king. Now, could you imagine how that must have struck Herod? What are you talking about, a new king? I am the king. What do you mean you're looking for a new king? Come on now. By the way, in the Old Testament days, kings didn't like competition. Do you know how they handled competition? They got rid of them. So Herod, man, he's political. Herod says, fellas, I don't know where he is. By the way, this is the Roy translation of that. You won't find that in the New King James. Fellas, I tell you what, have a seat, you know, and enjoy a drink. Let me go find out something, and I will be right back. Y'all wait right here. So we know that the word tells us that he went to his wise men, and he says, what's this thing about the king? See, that's where he got his answer. And I love to point out the fact that Herod got the right answer. Herod's wise men actually had the correct answer. And they said, yeah, it's going to be Jesus. He's going to be born, you know, in Jerusalem. They laid it all out for him perfectly. And Herod's like, oh, okay. I get it. So then he goes back once again to the Magi, the wise men, and he says to him, yeah, you'll find him down there in Bethlehem. Oh, and by the way, when you find him, how about coming back here and letting me know? I want to worship him too. That's what he said. And here's the Magi going, okay. They didn't know any better, so they set off on their journey. You see, Herod's response was one of fear. Herod's response was one of disturbance, whereas the religious leaders knew the prophecies, but they were indifferent toward them in their fulfillment. They knew it. If you know the answers, why didn't you just look? And by the way, he was only 7 miles down the road. You could have checked it out. Wouldn't you think somebody would at least do that? Go check it out. Go see what this is. You see, the revelation of Jesus as king provokes a lot of different responses. And here's something I want us to understand today. You see, when we think about this story, Herod represents power threatened by the true king. He didn't want to lose his power. He had the position of king, and he was like, I'm not going to have that. That's not going to work. We fall into one of these categories. Herod represents power threatened by the true king, while the religious leader's apathy is contrasted with the Magi's earnest seeking. Think about that for a minute. The Magi wanted to find the baby Jesus, and yet those who knew the word, the Herod's wise men that knew the word, were as little concerned about that as possible. Think about the apathy that you see among God's people, the apathy that you see in churches today when God has done so much. You see, what happens is when we find ourselves busy with seeking the Lord, we don't have time with the peripheral nonsense. We don't have time with the peripheral arguments and the my way or the highway type thing. When we seek the Lord, he provides those answers. Think about the difference between the Magi and the religious leaders of that day. They knew the answers and didn't give a flip. And the seeking Magi wanted to know the truth. And folks, there are people today that truly are seeking Jesus because the Holy Spirit has prompted them to do so. What kind of examples are we laying out for them? How do we respond to the revelation of Jesus in our lives? Are we indifferent? Are we threatened, or are we worshipful? I think we need to examine our hearts and respond with reverence and faith as we determine where we fall in this Christmas story. The third thing I want us to see out of our passage for today is that is the worship of the king. Now look with me, if you would, in Matthew 2, beginning with verse 9. It says, "And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Did you catch the tidbit in there that I want to make sure I point out to you? Remember just a little while ago when I said to you, the wise men never made it to the stable. Remember I said that? Now, throughout all of the Gospels, we read and we hear about the fact that the shepherds went and they saw the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But be careful. Come down to verse 11. Look at verse 11. Notice what it says. It says, "And when they had come into the what?" Does that say the stable? Does that say the manger? Does that say swaddling clothes? They came into the house. This journey is believed to have been at least 2 years. Okay, Pastor Roy, where do you get 2 years from that? Okay, let me fast forward for just a minute. Because what happens is when we got down to the end of the passage that I just read for you, it says that being divinely warned in a dream, they should not go back to Herod. Well, the wise men didn't go back to Herod, but what they did do, when Herod figured this out and figured the wise men weren't coming back, remember what had happened. They had met with Herod before and they had talked about what time the star had appeared to them. Herod had information. So then what Herod does is Herod says, the way I need to eliminate the newborn babe that will be the king, the Christ child, is that I will have every male child under the age of killed. Remember that? 2 years of age. That's why. He said, you know what? If I can't narrow it down to a particular date, I'll just get rid of all of the male children that are 2 years of age and younger. And if you remember, the scripture says, according to the time that Herod had learned from the wise men. That's where the 2 years comes from. So at least 2 years had passed. Now, I say all that to simply say these were men who were diligently on their journey to seek the Lord. We live in an instant society, don't we? We got instant potato. We got instant grits. We got instant coffee. But we got it. We want stuff fast, don't we? We want to drive through. We want to pick up. We want to do all these things. We want it fast. Could you imagine a project seeking like these wise men that lasted for at least 2 years? They stopped their lives. These were important men. They were toting around gifts. I mean, you know, probably at some morning, I'd probably get up and say, I'm so tired of toting this frankincense around. I don't know what to do. I'll tell you one thing, well, at least you got frankincense. I brought gold, and it's heavier. Well, all y'all should have just gotten this myrrh, but I'll tell you one thing, it's bulky. You never notice how we can complain over the simple little things? But they toted this around because that was the gifts that we know, according to the scriptures, that they presented to the Christ child. Notice what it says in verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. That's a key. Fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wow. See, the Magi responded with joy and worship, offering valuable gifts to the rightful king. See, worship involves recognizing the worthiness of Christ and offering our very best to him. I think so many times what happens is the Lord gets our leftovers, what we don't utilize, we'll give to him. And he deserves our very best because all of it comes from him anyway. Think about the gifts. The gifts signify Christ's kingship. That's what gold represented. Then the frankincense, his divine nature. And then finally, the myrrh, which was symbolic of his suffering. By the way, for those of you that don't know it, myrrh was one of the spices used to prepare a body for burial. Think about all of the things, the foreknowledge, the prophecy involved, and even those three gifts from the Magi. What do we offer Jesus in our worship? I want to let that resonate for a minute. That's a cool word, resonate. I'm going to let that resonate for a minute. What do we offer Jesus in our worship? Is it wholehearted joy and an offering that reflect his value in our lives? Is that what we do? Did we come in today and say, you know what? My day is better because I met the Lord here today. My day is better because I met with God's people and we rejoiced together. Am I going to leave this place filled with joy and filled with the Spirit because I have been in the presence of the Master? Or is it just, what time is he going to get done? Because we got lunch. I wish that preacher would hurry up because I know there's a church conference after that and all the vegetables are going to be gone at the K&W before we get there. Are you tuned in to worship? Is it wholehearted joy? Let us worship Christ by giving him the best of our lives, by giving him the best of our talents, and by giving him the best of our treasures. Can we do that? You see, the journey of the Magi teaches us about the transformative power of seeking and recognizing and worshiping Jesus. Their example challenges us to examine our journey towards Christ, our recognition of his kingship, and the authority of our worship. What did the Holy Spirit tell you today? Would it be worship worthy of the King? See, I think too many times we've got God as this cosmic being so far off that he doesn't know what's going on. But let me tell you what I know. He is not cosmic and far off, although he is, but he is also present in the here and the now, in this place today. He's sitting right beside you going, I'm here. Why are you? You've heard me say this. Why are you here? Did you come to seek Jesus? Because all of the piddly-anny little stuff falls by the wayside when our focus is on the Master and not the peripheria. Does that make sense? Are you seeking our Savior? Some, you know what, I know there's going to be some within my voice that were seeking him and you gave up because it was a long, hard journey. It's not going to be easy. The Magi, 2+ years. Important men. Don't tell me how important you are. Don't tell God how important you are. These were the important men. By the way, the important ones were the ones that were late to the game. The shepherds got to go to the stable. And they were the lowliest of low. The Lord said, y'all come. But see, he had to put them smart guys on a long journey to be able to come into his. Now, I'm not saying, hey, listen, he wants you to come into his presence. But as believers, what is he calling us to do? To draw close to and to walk with him daily. We need to daily pursue our journey towards Jesus, not just at Christmas time. And we need to do so with courage and with determination. So I would be willing to say a lot of you all know some very determined people in your life. People that never gave up. People that finally reached a goal because they were determined to do it. And I will guarantee you, in the same breath, you know people that couldn't get their journey started before they quit. Well, that's going to take too much time. That's going to take too much effort. That's going to take too much money. I don't want to get involved. Don't ask me to do anything. I'll tell you one thing. I'm worried about the next generation of church because nobody wants to seem to get involved. Nobody wants to teach a class. Nobody wants to disciple anybody. They just want to show up and go home. That bothers me. Now, I realize that the word says that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. I get that. But I also get, too, that the United States is not the incorporation of the whole world. And I get, too, that sometimes revival doesn't look like it's anywhere near presence in the United States. But when we go to Cuba and set foot down there, it's happening all over the place. Let me tell you something. God's favor is turning away from America because America has turned away from God. Oh, geez, you sound like an old timer. Well, yes, I am. Plain and simple. It's time. See, the Lord didn't just say, y'all just sit back and be consumers. He said, I want you to be so filled that you can't wait to tell other people. I want you to walk so close that we're so tight, you can't wait to tell other people about our relationship, that you can't wait to share that particular love. And what we have in church today often looks like Walter the puppet. Meh. What's going on today? That's what we seem like. Boy, that spawns a whole world to run to Jesus, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. What draws people to Jesus is them watching him work in your life and you giving him credit for it and you worshiping him, you taking the time, you taking the effort, you taking the energy to be a part of something because it's bigger than what you are. That's what we need to see. Can we pursue a journey towards Jesus with courage and with determination? And can we recognize and respond to his kingship by offering our lives and our hearts in genuine worship? Not facade worship, genuine worship. Let the story of the Magi inspire us to live as true worshipers of the King, guided by his light and guided by his love. We sing the wondrous praises of our Lord and Savior. But it's not just enough to sing the praises. We have to live them as well. Are we doing that? I start by simply asking you this question. Have you trusted Jesus with your life? Salvation is that free gift. Salvation is what is offered to each and every one of us free. Remember what I said a minute ago? I said, he's here. And he's with us in this place. Prove it, preacher. The word says, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. There's more than two or three of us here today. He's here. And I will make you this promise as well. If your heart was tuned in to him, if you were seeking him today, then he told you something. People say, well, that's all arrogant of you, preacher. No, it's not arrogant of me, because it's not about me, it's about the word. And the word never returns void. And you heard the word. If that's the only thing you heard, it didn't return void. So here's where the rubber meets the road. Brad, you guys come on up, take your place for our time of invitation. Where the rubber meets the road is this: what are you going to do with what the Spirit has told you? Maybe the Spirit has said to you, hey, I'm knocking at the door. You have never trusted me. You have a form of religion, as the Bible calls it. You've checked boxes at the church. You prayed with the pastor, but you went through a form. You're like, oh, I'm done. I'm in like Flynn. That is not what the word says. Holy Spirit standing at the door knocking. What a great, great Christmas this will be if you open the door and let him come in. Is that you? Listen, you don't need to wait another second.
I still remember what Rodney said many years ago. He'd been a churchman and a deacon and everything else all his life. And standing in the lobby of the shed, he said, "You keep talking about accepting Jesus." And I said, "Yeah, we talk about it." He said, "Well, I never have." A deacon! Sunday school teacher, worker, hard worker, lost. And I said, "Well, Rodney, look, if you want to, we'll talk about this after the show." I love what Rodney said. "No." He said, "I might die before the show's over." I said, "Good point. Let's talk now." Right there in that lobby, he asked Jesus to come into his heart. The next day, on a Sunday, he walked down this aisle, stood right here, and told the whole church that he had served all his life, but was lost. But he was making it public today that he knew Jesus. And he followed his baptism. He's home now. How many people said that church people would go to hell because Satan's got them twisted around and thinking they trust him? It's not me. What does the Holy Spirit say to you? It's not me. Will you let him? Listen, if that's you, whatever you're doing, stop what you're doing. You're here, whether you're online, you're riding down the road, a car, whatever you're doing, stop right now and just say, "Lord Jesus, I hear your knock. I'm asking you to forgive my sins. Come into my life. Save my soul. Help me, Father, to live for you. In Jesus' name. I will make you this guarantee." That was you opening the door. That's just the introduction. That doesn't mean you're saved. But that's the introduction. You opened the door and said, "Come on in." He came on in. I've loved to use this illustration. We're country folk around here. We're southerners. So what do? You just tell somebody to come in, stand there, and stare at them? What do you do? "Hey, can I get you something to drink? Got some cookies? Got a bundt cake? Let's sit down and have a conversation." You know what that's called? Prayer. Yeah. Let's get to know each other. Bible study. And the more you get to know them, the more you want to know them. And the light bulb will come on and the smile. The joy will be there because your joy will no longer be placed in your ever-changing circumstances, but your joy will be placed in the Lord. And what a joy that is. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of meditation. We still have an altar call. I still believe wholeheartedly. If you trusted Jesus, there's some other things He wants you to do as acts of obedience. Just like the Magi were obedient as they followed, He's asking you to do something. He's asking you about baptism. Baptism doesn't equal salvation. It is not even an element of salvation. It is an act of obedience following your salvation. That's what that is. But yet He still commands us to do it. Where do you stand on that? We're going to fill this pool up here before long. Got a couple already. And you know, by the way, I don't care what the Southern Baptist Convention says about numbers. What I care about is what the Lord says about those numbers that represent you. Where are you? Maybe today you have been lethargic. Spiritually lethargic. Here's another 50-cent word. My mom's with me today, so I want you to know the college education they paid for paid off. Spiritually lethargic. We can be that way. Just lazy. Maybe it's time to get it right with Him. Say, "Lord, you know what? I know I got to get up. I got to get back in spiritual shape, and I got to get back in the game." Today is the day to start. By the way, that's not me asking you to do that. That's Him. What has He said to you? I want you to know that the altar is here. I want you to know that I am here, that we are praying for you. And listen, don't let the moment of the Holy Spirit speaking loudly and clearly in your life right now get by you. you respond to the Father as we stand and sing our invitation hymn as Brad comes to lead us in hymn number 320. Turn your eyes on Jesus.
Beckoning you to salvation, I will make this promise. If you were to slip into eternity in hell, that will be one of the things that Satan will replay for you, this moment in time where you had the opportunity to trust Jesus and you didn't do it. What will you do? Will you surrender to Him? Make today the best day of the rest of your life. As you continue to pray for each other and yourselves, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Our Father, as we come to you today again, we're grateful and thankful for the provision that you provide each and every one of us. Lord, all good things come from you. And we come to that time where you command us to return to you that small, tiny portion that you have so richly blessed us with. Lord, I love what your word says. That's the only place that you say, try me and see if I'll not open forth the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing upon you. So, Lord, may we truly be found faithful as we return to you the tithe and the offering. Lord, we pray that you will give us wisdom and how to utilize what's yours in the best way to enhance your kingdom. And, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. we'll progress on. As always, we like to let folks know about birthdays, and my bride is celebrating a birthday today. I'm not going to ask how many years. I've learned I don't ask years or weights anymore on anybody. So Jana's birthday is today, and as far as anniversaries, I'm only showing we got one this week. It's Tuesday, and that is Tammy and Brian Gardner will be celebrating another year together as a couple. And as you have an opportunity, be sure to let these folks know how much you love them. Give them a hug or a check or cash or whatever. They'll take it all. But at any rate, just to let you know about those things, a couple of things that we got going on. We have a business meeting as soon as we get out of here. Like I say, we'll give folks that may be visiting with us or that aren't going to be staying time to exit out probably about 10 minutes after I get after Pastor David gets done with the final prayer. We'll have that business meeting. 5 o'clock is choir practice. Is that correct?
Yes.
5 o'clock. Okay. 5 o'clock choir practice. And then our cantata is tonight at 6 o'clock. P.M. I think we are going to broadcast that. So if you'd like to join us for that, and then after that, it's going to be followed by a finger food social. So bring some finger food, not just fingers, but food. And we're going to have some hot chocolate next door right after the cantata. Also on Monday, there is a 4:30 building and grounds meeting over in the building next door. As always, Wednesdays, the 10 a.m. Breakfast, men's breakfast at the Olympic in Colfax. No agenda, just come for fellowship. Ladies Connections meeting. I'm going to try to get these dates because the next Ladies Connection meeting is going to be January the 8th in FLC 116. That's right next door. And then on January the 15th is the next Ladies Monthly Breakfast at Cagney's. So if I'm wrong about that, y'all just let me know. That's at 9. The breakfast is at 9 a.m. at Cagney's on the 15th, and the next ladies' monthly meeting is on the 8th at 6 o'clock. Did I get that right? Do what? Oh, okay. Brad can help lead us with that in a minute, but and y'all have to kick in. But all right, let me do that. Let me just remind you, the last few things we got. Don't forget our 2025 Cuba mission team will be on the field February the 28th through March the 7th. So keep us in your prayers. Right now we have, there's four of us. There's myself, Mike Stone, Steve Kelly, and Ryan Anderson, Gunny Anderson. So thank you guys for that opportunity. You'll hear more about that as we get into the new year. So I know David can sing birthday, too. David and Brad, both come on up here, because Judy says we need to sing happy birthday to Jana. So what we'll do is Brad and David can lead that, and then David can let us know anything that I have forgotten, and then he can get us out of here in a word of prayer. Guys, we love you. We look forward to seeing you as we go forward.
One thing I want to mention to you, in your bulletin today, there's a piece of paper. You have to look at it close to see what it is. Larry Johnson passed away. Their family had decided not to have a memorial service here. They're doing something different. But we wanted you to know what an exceptional guy he was. So we have inserted a lot of information about Larry. I'm sure that most of you have no idea all the things that Larry was involved in. So we did that as a memorial to him. You might want to keep it, refer to it as you talk with Hannah. But he was an exceptional guy, loved the Lord, served God all his life. And we wanted you to have that information. Also, if you're looking for the Lottie Moon post office, if you go up the stairs and right to the right in that area, that's where it is. That's where your Christmas cards, people will bring you Christmas cards. You can bring theirs, and that way you don't have to put postage on them. However, we do not deliver okay? You have to get them there, bring them here, put them in there, and you have to pick them up there. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only Son to die on the cross for us that we might have eternal life. And we thank you for the privilege, Lord, that you have given us, that we are here this year. We're all here, and we have the opportunity to serve and worship your Son, Jesus. Lord, help us to let our focus be for this holiday season on the one who gave us eternal life. We ask it in his name. Amen.